The sermon reading for today is Luke chapter 1, verses 57 to 80. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbours were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Well, so far we've learnt that God has a plan to save his people, and this plan's about to get real. We've heard Zechariah talking about how his son John, he's the beginning of how this plan is going to come together. And from verse 76, Zechariah addresses his son directly when he says this. Verse 76 there in your outlines. "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. Well, that sounds like really great news, doesn't it? And it is, it really is. God offers salvation. And John has come to tell people about that. But not only that, he's also come to tell people what it is they need to be saved from. And that last part is a really important piece of information, isn't it? You know, if you don't realise that you need to be saved, well, then you won't think salvation is good news. If you don't realise that you need to be saved, well, that news won't mean anything at all. Let me give you an example of what I mean. When I was a kid, the whole family was at a beach in a place called Esperance. It's down on the south coast of WA. It's where I'm from originally. It looked a little bit like this picture on the screen. It was a secluded beach. We were the only ones there and we went swimming. Well, at one point I saw my sister and my dad, and they were a fair way out offshore, which was a little strange because we were quite young. Normally we swam in much closer. And so I thought I'd join in the fun, and I swam over. And Dad started yelling at me, "Go away, get away, get going." And that just made me annoyed and angry. You know, why should they have all the fun? And so I kept going. Well, it turns out that Dad had seen that my sister was in a bit of trouble. And so we'd swum out to her and found that they were in a rip. And they were heading out to sea. So he was trying to keep her afloat, and he was trying to work out how he could save her. And all that yelling was him trying to save me. "Don't swim over here. Swim away while you can. Get away." But I didn't know that I needed saving. I didn't know that I was in any danger at all. So what he said didn't mean anything to me. In fact, it just made me angry. So I kept swimming into the rip. The thing is, if you don't know you need saving, then it doesn't matter what people say. It won't sound like good news. It'll just be annoying. at the very least, just won't be of any interest at all. But here in this part of Luke, we get a glimpse of what God is determined to save us from. And it's in verses 78 and 79. Have a look at those with me, verses 78 and 79, where it says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." See, because of his tender mercy, God is determined to save us from living in darkness and in the shadow of death. That's what he wants to save us from. And these words that the author of this account, Luke, these words, they're a reference from another ancient prophet, a man called Isaiah. He lived about 700 years before Jesus. And he described the darkness we live in if we try and live without God. He describes people trying to live their lives by their own resources, with their own perspectives on what's important and how pointless that is if death is a shadow that just hangs over our head as the final end of everything. I mean, if that really is the end, and the closer we get to it, what will we feel? Could be bitterness of things gone wrong, maybe regret of things done or not done, sadness perhaps of time that's now gone, but anything but joy. Anything but joy if we live in the shadow of death. See, if that's the case, then life is more likely to be a frantic effort for gain and comfort while we can, and all of the highs and the lows and the disappointments that go with all of those things. But in the end, any gain won't really matter. Past comforts won't mean much either. And so what is the purpose in all of that? And the Bible, it describes that as living with blindness or stumbling about in the dark, not being able to see the right path. And that is what God offers to save us from thinking that death is the end and living a life that reflects it, living a life ignoring God. That's what the Bible calls sin. And instead, he wants to save us to live a life with him, looking forward to a life with him that never ends, and living now with that in mind. And it starts to become clear how that's all going to work with the birth of John. Verse 76 and 77, they explain how. John's going to go before the Lord. He'll go out among the people before Jesus starts his activities, and he'll tell people Jesus is coming. He'll tell them they need to turn back to God, that they need to be sorry for ignoring their Creator, and that they can be forgiven for sin through Jesus. Because ultimately, Jesus would go to the cross and die in our place to pay the price for that sin. And trusting that he did that for you is how God saves. John was to go ahead and give everyone this knowledge of salvation, tell everyone about this light of salvation, Jesus, who shines into our darkness. He shines, it's a bit like a lighthouse. Has anyone heard of the Diamond Shoals? They're a cluster of underwater sandbars. They're off the coast of North Carolina in the US. They go out a fair way from shore, about 13 kilometers, and they constantly move around. So sailors can never be sure what the right path through the shoals is. And hundreds of ships have sunk along that coastline. They reckon that since the 1500s, maybe over 800 ships have sunk. Thousands of lives lost. Until in 1870, they built a lighthouse 58 meters tall. Here's a picture. It's not of the one from the 1870s. It's a more modern version. But these lighthouses, the light from these lighthouses, they guide ships to safety. It shows them the right path. Now, don't you reckon life can be a bit like the Diamond Shoals? Constantly changing? Friendships and health, income, family? I mean, nothing remains fixed, not for long. And we can't control it, not all of it. Life can be a bit like the shifting sands of the Diamond Shoals. But Jesus is like that lighthouse, a light shining into the darkness, showing us the way, ultimately, to safety and to life. And did you notice there in verse 79 how the light works? It guides. And the thing about a guide is you have to want to be guided. See, when a ship nears a port and the waters aren't familiar, they will often take on a pilot or a guide, someone local who knows the right way. The pilot doesn't force the ship's crew or coerce them to do what he says. The crew willingly follow the guide because he knows the best way through. Jesus is like that. The challenge is not to be shipwrecked by life, trying to sail through it in darkness, but instead to willingly be guided by the light of Jesus. Not saying it will be problem-free. I mean, a voyage through the Diamond Shoals is not smooth. Jesus doesn't promise a smooth, easy journey either. But like a lighthouse and a ship's pilot, he does guide us into the path of peace with God. And he bought that peace for us on the cross. It is a peace like nothing any other king or any other leader in all of human history has ever brought to humankind. It's faith in him that brings us into an eternal relationship with God and into a new community with each other. So we no longer live in the shadow of death, but instead in the fellowship with God. Now, living a life with that in mind changes everything. Life will still be filled with highs and lows, that's true, but it will have purpose, living for God. And undergirding it all is the joy of knowing his peace. Well, next Sunday, I'm sure I don't have to remind you, is Christmas Day. And we're going to be meeting here at 9:30 for an hour. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we'll be looking a little deeper into the peace he brings us. And I do hope you can join us for that. In the meantime, there's a table that's out the back here as part of the carnival setup in the middle table. And I've put some biographies of Jesus' life on the back table, on that table. And there's some short pamphlets there as well on what his light in your life means. Please take some. And this year, why not look more closely at the real Christmas? Check out the light of Jesus. See his way of peace that calls us all from darkness. And rejoice in what's been done through the tender mercy of the Lord. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the birth of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light who shines into the darkness and shows us the way to be brought back to you. Help us, please, to understand our real need of salvation and help us to accept the way you've provided it. Help us, Father, to accept Jesus as our Lord and as our Saviour this Christmas. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.